Hey everybody, welcome to episode 51 of the Alexi Sell podcast. And we thought, cheers, we'd reach the landmark stage of 50. It might be time to just for me and Talal to check back, sit down, hang up our feet, and just reflect on where we've got so far and where we're going in the future. So I think you've got a list of... You urged me to just go through the list and look at the guests that we had. Of course, I didn't do any of that.
Cool.
Perfect. And, let's just go through the list, really.
Yeah,
and
then, the idea, I mentioned it in the last episode, is that I'd kind of just reel off the episode titles or the guests we've had on, and then you can either be very brief or go into and... your deeper reflections on our previous episodes.
It's also, it's also like excavation in a sense, like clay pipes and oyster shells. It shows where the various layers show where the nation was 3 years ago when we first started.
Oh, yeah.
Preoccupations then and preoccupations now.
And also there was my brief stint working at BBC Newsnight many years ago, after every broadcast, they would all go into a little room and do something called a post-mortem.
Right.
Where they would discuss how the show went, goods, bads, all that, and reflect on what they can do better in the future.
Yeah.
But this is like... this
everything,
is not,
but yeah.
But this isn't a post-mortem because this isn't the end of anything, but it's like midlife...
Pre-mortem.
All right, let's dive into it, shall we?
Yeah.
All right, episode one was a short one. I think it was like 15 minutes long, and it was called Keir Starmer Establishment Tool. That's how we started everything.
I still got one of the highest, rated, people got excited about Alexi Sell having a podcast.
That's true.
And that was, I think, my initial idea was that I would do kind of fairly tightly scripted. I would try out comedic ideas and, use the podcast as a kind of a way to, a work in progress kind of a thing in many ways. And I think we fairly soon abandoned that.
It was all very... I was just sat in the corner, not allowed to talk. You had a script, but I think, and it was your first dive into the world of podcasting, wasn't it?
Yeah.
When we first started this, or before we even started it, I'd approached you and said, Alexi, you don't have anything online. You don't have any online content. What's the deal with that? And your reaction was very blasé, wasn't it? You didn't really...
Well, no, I'd done the odd thing, and there was a guy I was going to make films with, but we'd vaguely talked about it, but I'd never got it's funny, we just recorded a podcast with Lenny Henry, didn't we? So Lenny I was talking to Lenny about podcasts, really, and he'd had meetings with like Global, BBC and stuff. We'd been trying to force him into a format, and he was very unhappy with that. I said, "No, man, just like do it yourself, or get Talal to do it." But he said, "How do you make money?" I said, "Well, you don't." That is the one, I think he's still at that stage where I was, because we come from a world where you do stuff and then people pay you to do it. And then podcasting is really a world where you do stuff and you pay people to listen to it, essentially. So,
your reaction to the quote unquote importance of having an online presence. Be it social media or a podcast or a YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Before this podcast, and maybe even now, is that something that matters to you? Is that like,
I don't know. I mean, people, I don't know really. I mean, people say, I listen to your podcast. I don't know whether they're lying or not. I love your podcast. I think it kind of makes it, I mean, it's made a, I think it's kind of make a difference. I mean, I find it frustrating. I don't know how. I had a meeting with some people, my agency about who are supposed to be experts in podcasts. And I sort of said, well, can't you just pay somebody to kind of nobble the algorithm or whatever? They didn't seem to think it was possible. I feel frustrated in the sense that, I'm both frustrated and pleased those two shitbags, Alistair Campbell and Rory Stewart, you know, whether those sort of the podcast that Global put out, which I guess get, you know, massive listener figures. I don't know. I'm rambling now.
No, it's not nobbling the algorithm per se. I think it's you pay, if we wanted to or had the budget, we could pay a marketing company,
right,
like £1,000 a month for you know, a set number of months. And that price is not.
And they get your figures.
They put adverts in front of the right people to to spread awareness to the right people that you're. But you know, our right people is like revolutionary left wing people who don't give a fuck about advertising. Nah. You know, ignore adverts. So I don't know how valuable that would be for us. And
fuck that shit.
If we had an unlimited budget, of course we would do that.
Yeah,
but this has all been from the beginning. Grassroots.
I am very pleased. I think that, particularly during lockdown, the bike rides were massive, really, and actually got, you know, quite a lot of critical attention and stuff like that. They seem to have less point post lockdown, but I think the figures for the podcast hold pretty steady, don't they?
Indeed, this one has 50,000 listens. This alpha opening episode. And by the way, just quick note: I don't know why, but just chaos is ensuing around me. It's very noisy where I am. There's a builder in the flat below me, and I live right over a major bus route. So I'll do my best in the edit to get rid of that. All right, the next episode was called "The Art of War." It was another kind of scripted doodah. But it was half an hour long this time. We doubled our length. Oh, we didn't really speak on the content of the last one, that Keir Starmer establishment tool. He's now our prime minister.
Yeah, yeah. that's a strange. I mean, I have to say that surprisingly, I feel a certain lightness, really, that even though I profoundly hate Keir Starmer, that I feel that there is a sense, I don't know how long it will last, but I feel a sense of lightness that, the Conservative government was no longer there. They are so stupid. They were so stupid and so ideological and so vile that I'm surprised myself that to feel a degree of relief that they're not in government anymore. I don't know how long that sense will last, but it's also an odd sensation, really, because although I'm not, he's not, you know, that Keir Starmer is sort of he's first prime minister I've known who's kind of adjacent to my social circle in a way, you know, that I've not only met him once or twice before I knew his true evil, but I find it weird that I kind of know, you know, I know people who know the prime minister.
Yeah.
It's kind of odd. I know people who play football with him and shit like that.
Fuck yeah.
That's weird, really.
Huh? It's definitely bittersweet.
Yeah, yeah, but it is at least something. And I was in a terrible state on Thursday. Really, I went and campaigned for Andrew Feinstein after we'd done the podcast with Lenny on election day, and I was just really worried, you know, that Jeremy wasn't going to get in and that nobody was.
Right. No, everyone was predicting that he was going to lose by a small margin. But he completely.
Yeah, he completely aced it, really. And also, you know, it's a shame that Leah Mohammed didn't beat fucking West Streeting in Ilford North. I think that's a real shame.
Yeah, and
Fiza Shaheen in Chingford, yeah. But
she was so close.
Yeah.
But so, is there any? And but have you seen the numbers about how in this election, Labour overall got less votes than both of Corbyn's?
So, yeah, even suppose Jeremy's 2019 disastrous election, that he still got 600,000 more votes than Keir Starmer got now. But obviously Keir Starmer has this vast majority in the...
And Keir Starmer's own votes.
Yeah, and Andrew have gone put down. A really good dent, I think, into Keir's... You know, we never expected he was going to win, really, but he really put a dent into Starmer's majority. Mm. Also because, of course, they put up this kind of fake Gaza candidates as well, you know, the Labour Party.
And, I didn't know that, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I'm all about Gaza, but his wife was actually in the Jewish Labour Movement, which is, you know, pro-settler, pro-apartheid, genocide. So,
wow.
Yeah, I mean, they were up to all those tricks, really, I think, in many places. It's a shame that Jess Phillips came close to getting Jess Phillips as well. But, you know, overall, I think there's some hope, really, I feel mildly hopeful at the moment, really.
You know, I think first past the post is another obstacle in the way.
Yeah.
I don't understand how the French election system works. Do you have any idea?
I've no idea.
That's some good news happening out there as
well. Yeah,
well,
Mélenchon, you know, the mainstream media is working very hard to downplay the significance of that.
And they're making it all look like they're... anti-Semites and everything.
Yeah, they're saying
Jews, get out of France while you still can.
Oh, fuck's sake.
They're doing all that. It's not safe for Jews in France anymore.
Fucking hell.
And of course, I don't want to downplay it. There are very small instances, as there are here and everywhere, of anti-Semites. And there are people who are painting swastikas on synagogues and all that horrible shit. But that is not like a tidal wave of anti-Semitism.
No.
But those are the pictures they use to show.
Really.
Those are the,
it's disgusting. It'll either,
Art of War, almost as many listens as our first episode, mm-hmm. Like 40,000. And you talk about labor history, COVID conspiracies and Kung Fu. But I think the new addition here is that we also read out some listener emails and respond to them.
Okay. I've got no memory of that at all, really.
No, I think you were Art of War referencing
about Sun Tzu and
Sun Tzu.
That's a theme I've returned to, isn't it? All right.
Yeah. Okay. Next up. Okay. Next up, our first ever episode with guests. It was Too Many Ronnies with David Rennick and Andrew.
Was that the first one? I thought Paul Preston was a professor. Oh, really?
No. David Andrew Nantry. Marshall. Another very high listenership on that one as well. Yeah, so
I mean, they're partly high listenership on it because they're the oldest one that people still keep listening to. I'm comforting myself with that.
No, yeah, when people start listening, they tend to start from the beginning.
Mm.
But Andrew and David here talking about your work in the 90s together. Yeah.
I remember that being a lot of fun. They're two guys who I'm still very fond of and... I used to see both of them like once a year, but both great writers, I think.
Mm-hmm. All right, the next one was in our first, it was in New Year's of 2021, Pink Hippo Glove Puppet.
Beepy. What happened in that one?
It says, Alexi says goodbye to 2020, paying tribute to some casualties of the year. I'm not very good at writing descriptions.
Yeah, what the fuck was that about?
I think maybe you lost some friends in 2020.
Probably. Paying tribute. Years.
Good listenership on that. But there was that famous anecdote about your hippo glove puppet.
Yeah.
And then we get into some more conceptual stuff. The next one was the Dave Stewart Anecdote Podcast.
Oh, right.
Is that the one where with Bob Dylan?
Shows
up at his house and then you tell the story like three Dave. Times.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, God, yeah. Oh, this is funny, isn't it? All this stuff. You know, this is, I suppose it's Proustian memory, but I mean, it's that, all this stuff comes back to you, yeah.
The description there, Alexi explores the theme of repetition in art. He also explores the theme of repetition in art. Further, he explores the theme of repetition in art. Starting getting better at that. Hey, the listenership's really nice. I haven't looked at our listenership for a while. These are really nice numbers I'm looking at here. The next one is called Warriors. Why do the left hate militarism?
All right. Bloody hell, I should listen to these. They sound really interesting. This guy's really interesting, I think. He's a really interesting guy with a unique take on things.
Then our next one is a big one. This one shot us into the zeitgeist of society. Unfit for Purpose with Stuart Lee.
God, was that... Did he come and do it, or did we do it on Zoom?
Was we did it on Zencastr. It
right,
was in February of 2021.
Right.
That was such a fun chat. You and him really have a good flow together.
Yeah, I haven't seen him much recently, but yeah.
Highest listenership we've had.
Really?
There's obviously a lot of fondness for Stuart out there.
And yes.
Another way people get into podcasts, if they don't just start from the beginning, they'll look through the episodes and find one with a guest that they like.
Right.
That's a way people get into podcasts as well, okay. Speaking from experience. Yeah. You still talk to him? Still in touch with
Stuart? Yeah, I nearly saw him. I nearly saw him yesterday, but I didn't. It's a good anecdote, isn't it?
Yeah, it was really good, yeah. Maybe I'll email him. Let's get him back on. Obviously, it'll be a nice...
Give us a nice
bump. Next one is called Safe Word. You had a theory on Keir Starmer. And then we get in some emails. And friendship applications. Whatever happened to that?
Oh, that was the whole thing about want people to be my friend or something.
Yeah.
That was a thing.
Yeah, yeah, you were.
Yeah, they had to sort of apply and tell me why they'd be my friend. A theme in my comedy and in my life, really.
Yeah. But Conan O'Brien has cornered the market on podcasting celebrities looking for friendships.
Has he?
Yeah, his podcast is called Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend.
Yeah, right.
And then you talk about Glastonbury in this one. 1984, where you're pushing your car, you got all the hippies to push your car out of.
And then I like, so there is, because some of this stuff I have later done in, I did do in the last series of Sandwich Bar, I think. So it has proved something of a proving ground. You know, it's been something of a proving ground for material.
And it's been a week since we've been back from Glastonbury.
Yeah, man.
We went back, and that was, what, your fifth time? Sixth time?
Yeah, surprisingly. I thought I'd been there three times, but then the woman who ran the cabaret tent showed me this book, Charlotte, and looking at all the posters, I'd actually been there four times. Always on the pyramid stage. Five times now. And, the Young Ones event that we did, you did all the clips for on the Saturday lunch sandwich was lovely and very
let's
nice.
Just let them know we went there because on Saturday we did a Young Ones panel show at the cabaret tent, and on Sunday there was an audience with Alexi Sale also in the cabaret tent, and because of that I did all the video clips for the Young Ones panel, and because of that they let me do some stand up there as well.
Yeah. Well, they wanted you anyway, I think.
Yes. Well, she saw some clips of my stuff and said, "Oh, let's book him." And they booked me in for two slots. But that's why we were there. And yeah, beautiful crowd. I'm sure we have some new listeners now because of it. Because we did.
It was that event. My event on the Sunday was fucking amazing. I was worried that there's going to be nobody there, but it was just there's so much affection for me, and you know, it just went. You and Lisa May were interviewing me, and it just went so well. And you know, started off just hitting the comedy stuff, but then later on, I think it got, you know, I relaxed enough to talk more seriously, really. And it was just, you know, it was just marvelous. I think, really.
It was gorgeous, and there was a lot of affection for you. And
yeah,
that room really filled up. Does that give you the feels? Does it warm your heart to see people coming out for you? Like, just to hear you talk shit for an hour, and but they would still find that a worthwhile thing to do. And
it's very great. I mean, there's some crafted material in there. It's not just
I know, but like, are you numb to it? Is what I'm getting at. Or
I find it. I find it gratifying, you know, profoundly gratifying. I mean that, you know, people's affection for me, but it's also like I sometimes feel, you know, you feel like you're not doing enough, either with it or for them, or, you know, you just sometimes think, should I be running for, you know what I mean? It's sort of like, where do you go with that, really? You know?
Well, I think you've earned the ability to just sit back and share the love, you know? So you don't have to do anything more than that.
Me, but yeah.
You got a lovely, warm round of applause, a standing ovation at the end, and it was really beautiful. And hello to any new listeners we gained from that event. And thank you, Cabaret Tent at Glastonbury, for bringing us in. Next up, what number is this? Episode 13, Warm Gazpacho.
Is that with Paul Preston?
No guests.
All right. That's not a bad bit, is it? I don't know if I did.
I can't remember the bit.
It's my celebrity behavior. I say I order gazpacho in a restaurant and then ask them to warm it up.
Oh, right. Okay.
Because that's what you do. You know, if you're a Hollywood star, you order off menu. You say, you know, they've got like a, you know, a vast menu. And you say, no, have you got any turnips? Can you do them for me in a coconut? That's how you show power.
Oh, this is interesting. So the description, Alexi tests out some half-baked ideas. So I think this is like the first time you're kind of going off script and just not scripting it. I think we're really starting to shed that format. And it also says at the very end, we also kind of explain who this Talal guy is. So I think you're bringing me into the fold here now as well.
You're becoming like your sidekick, Ahmed.
Yeah. I remember there was a conversation where you're like, you preferred having someone to bounce off, not just talking into the void kind of thing.
Yes.
You felt more comfortable doing that. All right, this is episode 10. No, we haven't reached the 13. That was 9. No. This is 10. The categorical imperative. The Hartlepool by-election. It was that time.
All right. No, we had hopes then because Labour did so badly, didn't we?
Yeah.
I think Keir Starmer thought about resigning.
And we launched the Patreon episode. There we are. Patreon.com/AlexiCellPodcast.
Is that the thing where we did like gold membership, which gets you nothing?
Yes.
Platinum membership.
Get you nothing.
Yeah, I like that.
The amount of messages we get where they say, thank you for nothing. Thank you for nothing, Alexi and Talal. Thanks so much for nothing.
Yeah. it's a bold marketing idea, but I think it's day has come, really.
Yeah, we are, as you can tell, aces at marketing.
Yeah.
Then next up, third time with a guest, episode 11 with Omid Jalili, Little Jodie was the title.
That was me talking about Golden when I was doing that sitcom Golden Palace.
Yep, you talk about your Hollywood careers. You talk about you have a Robin Williams chat because you both have a connection to him. We talk about obviously like what was it, cultural appropriation and stuff, playing Arabs in films.
Yeah.
And Brian Sewell. Why are we talking about Brian Sewell?
Fuck knows.
Listenership's consistently high still.
Still.
No, I mean, the numbers haven't dropped. And Omid was great fun, wasn't he? He's a nice guy.
Yes, he's I'm very fond of Omid.
All right, flying through these. Episode 12, A is for Anarchy. Oh, we began the A to Z of left politics.
Oh, God, is that when we had Professor Preston.
And this was in June of 2021. With Professor Paul Preston, correct? Yeah.
I mean, I say, don't I? This, I mean, it is a kind of it is like a dating service. to some extent, the podcast is like that. Was that hip? Was that celebrity dating thing? Raya.
Oh yeah.
But you know, somebody whose ideas you admire, you can just kind of get in touch with them and say, "Would you come on the podcast?" Really, up to a certain level of fame.
Mm-hmm.
The only one I would really like still is Leia Yippi, who wrote that book about Albania that I think kind of didn't turn us down, but Leia would love to Leia would love to come on the podcast, but she's busy having a sandwich right now. maybe we'll try her again. Since I've spent so much time in Albania recently. Yeah, Professor Preston, yeah. It was sort of like we wanted to. I mean, I think he was an interesting guy. And actually, when I went for a walk with him and stuff. I think he's not very well now. And also, we wanted him to talk about anarchy, but it turned out he really wasn't that keen on anarchy. But
I think it was the other way around. The anarchy thing came up.
Because he came to talk about Spanish Civil War.
And then, you know, because we record the intro and outro after the interviews.
Right.
You decided to frame it as a A to Z of
leftist thought. Yeah.
And you were like, let's make this A for anarchy.
Yeah.
Because we did touch on anarchy. But then in a later episode, which I'm sure we'll get to, we ended up doing a proper anarchy one with that geezer who talked about the anarchist communities in Syria.
Karn Ross, still a friend of mine. Also stood against Emily Thornberry for the Green Party in that fucking hateful person that cheers. Stood against Emily Thornberry and got 6,000 votes stood for the Green Party.
Oh, wow. All right, well, we'll get to him in a bit. The next one, listenership still looking good. This is episode 13, Hollow Point.
That's when we start getting into my disturbing fixation with firearms and ammunition.
I believe so. We do some emails and then we play part two of the interview with Paul Preston.
Okay.
Which focuses more on modern Spain.
All right.
Okay. Oh, and then we go straight into more A to Z. The next episode is ABC for ammunition, Bolshevism and communism.
What the hell was that about?
We interview Professor Tony Collins.
Oh, God. That's not one I remember much. I should listen to that.
No, I have so little memory of that.
Mm-hmm.
But we also talk about the Tank Museum, Monkey World. And then, interview Tony Collins. And then we have another guest, straight into Stung with Josie Long.
Josie, dear Josie.
We love Josie, and she's so great in her leftist activism. Mm-hmm. She's very active on social media, gigging all the time, very political in her comedy. She helped us create our giveaway for the Lego Alexis. Remember those little Lego Alexis that our friend made for us?
Yeah.
We gave them out to people who emailed in with a certain thing. I can't remember what the competition, how it went. Josie Long, much love. Oh my God, next one's a big one. More Hope, Please, with Jeremy Corbyn.
Jeremy, because that was so early. Jeremy, God.
He came around to your house
with
a small entourage.
Gary Murphy with him. That's not by any means the first time I've met Jeremy, but it's the start of our deepening relationship. The struggle goes on, really. La lotta continua.
But what a beautiful afternoon that was. We were giddy. I remember we were recording before he arrived, sitting in your living room.
Yeah.
We were like two school children.
Yeah.
Jeremy's coming.
Yeah.
Got lots of photos with him. What a absolutely lovely man. And just so consistent. I know it's kind of frustrating, but he's so fucking consistent.
Yeah.
He doesn't get angry. Well, actually, I like what he's been saying about Keir Starmer. He's finally starting to slowly open up about Keir Starmer.
Really? I mean, you could say he stayed loyal to the Labour Party just because he thought, you know, they would let him back in, but also out of kind of politeness in a sense. And it was only when they stood somebody against him that he really went, you know,
the claws came out.
Yeah, it gave him both bowels, really. And so what's he been saying since?
He's just like digging into Labour. And there was an interview on the day one saying how Labour are are not really Change, and they're very establishment, and Keir Starmer screwed them over, but all very subtly, you know, you read between the lines and he's basically saying, fuck these establishment tools, they're all cunts. But
right.
But on the surface level, he's like, I'm very upset that they're not sticking to the manifesto. Keir Starmer supported me when I was the leader and he stabbed me in the back. You know, it's nice. It's all coming out. In our next episode, I think maybe encouraged by our meeting with Corbyn, you started your own political movement called Sailism.
Oh, right. Yes. That was that thread, wasn't it? Yeah. Yeah.
And there was some nice fan art sent to us.
Yeah.
It was just me and you on that one.
For those ideas. Yeah, well, it's all, I mean, it has, I mean, all of it has added to the development. You know, I've got this book coming out next year that, you know, will completely change the landscape of British politics and the the podcast has been a large part in me formulating those ideas. I think without it, I would have just been talking to Wilf about it.
Oh, that's really heartening to hear. Has the podcast really...
Oh, I think profoundly, yeah. I think by just talking through those ideas, it's also made me a better interviewer, I think, in the sense that I don't know if I could have done Strangers on a Train, really, my hit Radio 4 series, without also this experience of interviewing people. Actually, interestingly, I'm going to... We're Monday now. Tomorrow I'm going to Cambridge, the Corn Exchange, to interview Miriam Margolyes, a kind of live show that she's doing. And so that'll be interesting as well to see how I get on doing that, really.
We've had a lot of correspondents asking if we could get her on the podcast and how great you two would be together.
Yeah, I'll ask her when I see her, yeah.
Please do, and I hope that show goes really well. That's awesome.
Yeah.
People were wondering how we could get you two in a room together, and there you go. I presume you don't need help selling tickets for that.
I imagine it's completely sold out months ago. I think she's amazingly popular.
This is my first time hearing about it. I wish I knew. I would have booked it off and come with you and filmed it or something. Okay, what was I about to say?
Next podcast. This podcast.
No, yeah, but no, I'm glad to hear that this podcast is benefiting you in those ways.
Yeah, definitely.
Fuck, I had something I was going to say, but I'll remember it again in a minute. The next one, Alexi, infamous, notorious episode. Is Downtown still hip with Saul Williams?
God, that was Saul Williams, was it? Wow.
We went to a fancy hotel in central London and interviewed him. They gave us a little conference room to interview him in.
He's such a handsome guy.
Nice guy as well.
Strange movie, I have to say. Strange movie that he made. But, you know, he's...
That movie's lingered with me. It's not a perfect film, but it has me and my girlfriend still talk about it a lot.
Yeah.
It's lived in my head. And some of the songs, there's an album connected to the movie, and it is really... Okay. It's really badass. And I just have to say, on social media, Saul Williams is one of the most vocal pro-Palestinian people I've seen.
Right, yeah.
He has Linda said, huge following.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's so nice. And he's just committed. Every post he makes is just a collation of the most eye-opening and eye-watering images and news and opinions on Palestine, and he is being
very
consistent.
That's brave, you know, if you're, I don't know if he's based in the States, isn't he? And somebody who was, you could tell from the fancy hotel in a way that he was somebody who, both inside and outside the kind of mainstream entertainment business, I think in some ways that are.
And his film, which
is brave to do that.
Absolutely. And his film, which is beautiful in several ways, is called Neptune Frost. And it's about, it's very much about what's happening in parts of Africa right now with the mining of
lithium,
make phones and Teslas and stuff, you know,
lithium
and like modern slavery and the horrific you know, we do talk a lot about Palestine, but there are horrific cases are, of genocide and human slavery.
The genocides are available, yeah.
Modern slavery. Other genocides are available. Fuck me, that's depressing. Right. Oh, yeah, and that all happened because you gave Saul Williams a lift home from Latitude Festival
Latitude,
one
which
year.
I'm also, I could probably say that I am doing this year. Robin Ince asked me to do it. I don't know if he's advertised it yet, but I wasn't. And then I pulled out because Barclays were sponsoring it, and then yep. Barclays pulled out. So Latitude's back on, so I'm going to be entertaining the middle-class folk of Suffolk.
A bunch of comedians and artists pulled out of Latitude last year, or this year.
Yeah.
And because of that, they kicked Barclays out.
Yeah. And
cool. What? So Robin Ince is going to interview you or something?
Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah. There's a particularly fucking there's a bit of Marina Hyde, the Guardian journalist, whining about on Richard Osman's podcast about, you know, boycotts and this, you know, people attacking Bailey Gifford and then pulling out of the. It's the whiniest, most entitled piece of. I know a lot of people like Marina Hyde. I find her tremendously dislikable, really, and as a writer, really, and it's the most entitled piece of. She's actually daughter of the second baronet or somewhere or other. It's the most entitled piece of whiny Guardian whininess I've seen in a long time.
Boycotting is like the most peaceful and one of the few things us plebs can do in terms of protest that actually has an effect.
Yeah.
And like the capitalist structure has reached a point where its fingers are in every aspect of our lives. You can't go to a festival without having corporate slogans in your face.
And like, yeah, exactly.
People want to fucking boycott. Let them boycott.
Absolutely. Piss off. Whiny fucking shit.
On that note, episode 19 is a bunch of students in a flat. It's a Young One special with Lisa Mayer. It's when I first got to meet Lisa.
Yeah.
I love her. She's great.
She is great.
You two are very good friends. And
she's my older Kung Fu sister. Yeah.
She's your Kung Fu sister.
Older Kung Fu sister. Because she outranks me.
That's right. And if you don't mind me saying, before the Young Ones panel at Glastonbury, you and Lisa warmed up by doing a bit of Kung Fu together, and it was really cool to watch. Really cool to watch. But yeah, this was, I think we didn't even mention Young Ones, or hardly mention Young Ones, all up until this episode, because we knew we were going to do something like this.
Yeah.
Episode 20 is our first Christmas one, A Very Alexi Christmas. what did we do for that one? We reflect on what Christmas means to us. Our first year of podcasting.
Right.
And you delivered a special interactive Christmas message. That's it. You did like a fill the blanks Christmas greeting, didn't you? At the end. Yeah, we put some music on it and then you did a nice Christmas message where you left a blank for them to shout their own name device to make it feel like they were talking personally to them. Yeah. Very funny. Spy Cops Like Us comes next. That was with Paul Heron.
And was it? Just with Paul Heron. I see him occasionally. Oh, no,
and
on
then
the demo.
That's the first half of it, and then Helen Steele's in the second half.
Helen Steele's the second half, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, still still
harrowing.
I mean, he still resonates in a sense. I mean, Helen Steele is still, you know, the Starmer. Starmer helped them a great deal, really. I think it's either because his MI6 handlers had told him to kind of reinforce his left wing credentials or whatever, really. But and again, that whole Spy Cops, the opening sequence of the last series of Lexi Sells Imaginary Sandwich Bar kind of comes out of that episode in a sense, really. And it's some of the work that I'm proudest of. I think it's some of the best work that I've done that, you know, Crash of the Deck comes into the into the sandwich bar, and then it goes on that bit about, you know, spy cops choosing false names. I guess that all came out really out of the out of this podcast. So it is useful.
And yeah, that was a harrowing story about the fuckery that special branch did to us. All right, next up we had, I loved this one. This one was Beef with Diane Morgan. You two were so funny together.
Yeah.
You were so funny together.
She owes me a phone call.
Okay. Not much else to say about that one.
No, she is so funny, Diane. I think she's so attractive and sort of, you know, that she's just so dry. I think that, yeah, she. I guess she feels a certain ambiguity about fame, really, which is probably sensible. But she's got such a kind of fantastic personality, I think.
Absolutely, a great addition to the oeuvre of British comedy players. I think she was, and you two together were. It was just sparks, you know. I just really enjoyed that one. This one is called Mighty Boy, episode 23. You made me really want one of those cars. It's like a
Suzuki
little Japanese
Mighty Boy. If I was, if I was like, sort of person who lived in like a big house in sort of where the Beatles used to live, like sort of Surrey, and I had a big garden, I'd have a Mighty Boy. I'd get a Mighty Boy in there. I'd probably have it converted to electric. I'd rather than keep the petrol engine, I think. There was a series on like Channel 5 or Quest or something called Vintage Voltage, where it was based in this place in Wales, and they converted cars to electric. There was only one series of it, and I don't know if anybody knows what happened to Vintage Voltage and the people connected with it. I'd be interested to know.
That's,
I suppose,
cool.
The heat's going out of electric cars. They're not the panacea that they were presented as.
But if you have like a really vintage, rare car that you're only going to drive on special occasions,
having an electric motor in it,
it makes more sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, if you're not concerned with authenticity, some people, you know, want the original engine and the original paintwork, and if you're not concerned with that, I think it's a terrific solution to convert it to electric, because there's just a lot less moving parts.
But something like a Mighty Boy, which is more functional, and what you just want to move some rocks from one side of your
estate,
field to the other side of your field.
My land that I have,
And then and in this episode, Mighty Boy, you talk about Bertolt Brecht, your fascination and longtime adoration of his work. And then the next episode we do a Bertolt Brecht special with Dr. Oliver Double. Tingle Tangles.
Dear Ollie.
Lovely guy. Funny guy.
Yeah. I'd forgotten we did that, but now I remember. Yeah. I see Ollie. You know, I speak to Ollie. And
you dive deep into...
All the time, yeah.
Brecht. Listenership still good, still going strong.
Yeah.
And then this is around the time we filmed yourself, Lisa, and Nigel watching The Young Ones.
Yeah, right.
Around at Lisa's house.
And then the BBC fucked us over because of copyright.
Fucked us over a little bit. So we ended up, so we couldn't put it on YouTube. So we ended up putting it on the Patreon.
And the people are
grateful
for that.
So that's the first time we broke our promise of giving our patrons nothing. In fact, there is things that only patrons get.
There are.
We're about halfway through. So this is a good time to maybe do a quick advert break for the Patreon.
You do. I think it must be. I mean, clearly, it is some sort of subconscious thing that I can't remember
the website.
Patreon website, really, which is because obviously I have ambiguous feelings about soliciting people's money, but you do it.
So yeah, fair enough. And it's not like you're getting that money anyway.
I know, it all goes to you.
And it pays our bills, like, you know, Audio Boom, Zencaster, Restream, any equipment we buy. None of that shit's free. We had to have a guest producer on a couple of episodes because I wasn't available. We had to pay their wages, and that all comes out the Patreon. That was with Lee Mack, by the way. An episode, two episodes we have in the bank with Lee Mack.
Yeah, we have. Yeah, we can do. We have two. Yeah, we. I mean, we need to maybe have a do a Marxist theoretician in between. But we have an amazing episode with Lee Mack, who I think is really interesting. It's a really interesting.
That's
going to
be
and
two
then,
episodes,
and then
Lenny Henry,
and then Sir Lenny Henry. Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, we need to have a Marxist in between.
Yeah, we need to have somebody talking about, or some sort of some kind of enclave talking about Abkhazia or somewhere, you know.
Well, let's get Feinstein on then.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah, we should get Andrew on because he's really interesting.
Yeah,
he does like to talk.
But that, you know, things like that. And when Paul Curry, we had to fly Paul Curry into London
because
he lives in a wooden house. He doesn't like technology. He didn't want to do it online.
Yeah.
And fair enough, like he's averse to doing things on Zoom. And that
I was very proud because Lisa's son was running around with the mic during the Q&A at Glastonbury. The first woman that asked the question was, where's Paul Curry?
I know.
And wild. I was very proud to say that, you know, the only time that Paul Curry has spoken about his mistreatment by the media has been on our podcast, I think.
Graffitied the theatre and circus area in Glastonbury in big letters, said Paul Curry is innocent.
So wild, listen to that episode. Yeah.
Wild stuff. But, you know, we couldn't have flown him into London without the patron. It's patreon.com/AlexiSale podcast.
Yeah.
And if you sign up, there is some exclusive stuff on there that only patrons get access to.
You know, sometimes you get these adverts that come up on your, like, you know, the AI tries to locate it in your ear. So I sometimes get these adverts that come up saying prices of private jets in Camden will amaze you. Because they try and make it in your area, they think I'm in Camden.
Oh, right.
Or, you know, prices of private jets in Crouch End. So, we flew Paul Curry in on a private jet. We didn't. I thought I'd get more of a laugh with that.
I was trying to piece together what the fuck
talking about. Yeah, no, it says, like, you know, senior citizens in Holborn, you know.
They direct advertising in terms of location.
It's your area.
But we don't have that technology on the Lex Sale podcast, so this advert is going to everyone who listens.
And, yes.
You can all go to patreon.com/AlexSale podcast. You can watch Lisa, Nigel, and Alexi watch The Young Ones. You can watch me, Lisa, me, Alexi, and my brother go to a shooting range.
That divided opinion, didn't it, really?
I think there's audio of one of our live shows up on there. And there'll be more stuff sprinkled into that page as the
It was that shooting range, I think, quite a lot.
Very divisive.
But also, they were too, like, you know, they were too worried about their image, weren't they? Basically, really.
Shooting range?
Yeah.
Yeah, they fucked
felt
us
like
up.
We couldn't be ourselves.
They were worried about their image.
Yeah.
They cornered us into a tiny corner of the shooting range.
Yeah.
But we were invited by one of their members who was absolutely gorgeous bloke.
Yeah, he's very nice. Yeah.
Brought us along.
I'd like to go to another shooting range, but, you know, one that's less censorious.
Mm. But then they vetted all the footage and they were very mean to me and said I couldn't put it on YouTube. Another reason why it's on the Patreon.
Yeah.
So a lot of the stuff me and Alexi do is so groundbreaking and so hard hitting that they don't. YouTube doesn't let us put it up.
It threatens the state, man.
It threatens the state, so that's why it's on our Patreon. But you know, you should be grateful for the nothing, and yet we still give you something. All right, next up. Oh, lovely bloke. We had Tom Mayhew on the show.
Oh, right.
Plainclothes priest. You were fascinated with Tom Mayhew's kind of political stand-up, and he talks about class.
Oh, yeah. It's happened to him. He's going to invite us to a show. We haven't heard from him since, have we? You still in touch with him?
Yeah, here and there. We should go to one of his shows. Why not?
Yeah.
I'll let you know about that.
I like to go to his show because, you know, as I say, everybody has to pretend they're excited I'm there.
He's a wonderful left-wing comic.
Yeah.
Out there, very active. Tom Mayhew, look him up and listen to our episode with him. It was really fun. He came around to your house and it was very sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And that's episode 25. All right, flying through, trying to fly through. Next one is with Blind Boy. We had Blind Boy on the Elixel podcast.
Really? There's somebody who really big podcaster.
Huge podcaster. Yeah, rarely appears bigger, on other bigger, people's
bigger,
shows.
Bigger than us, yeah.
Definitely bigger than us, yeah.
Yeah.
And he had some nice conspiracies and stories to tell us.
Yeah. Interesting guy. I sort of slightly supersede because, there's another very similar Irish rap act now, I think, called Kneecap.
Yeah.
Who my agent is connected with. So we should get them on. I like their music a lot, really.
Yeah, and they are outspoken about Palestine.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Blind Boy here and there said stuff about Palestine, but... surprisingly little, actually. Although I don't...
It was before shit got really serious, though, wasn't it? So...
Oh, yeah. No, but I'm talking about now.
Oh, really? Still? Yeah. He's kind of...
But I think what he does is it transcends kind of direct messaging like that. He's very esoteric.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly the word, esoteric, yes.
And he is a modern genius in the way he writes and talks about topics. Much love to him. Next episode is probably my favorite episode title, Ugly Bridgerton. Episode 27. And we were with Phil Bevin, who worked in the Labour Party and witnessed firsthand a lot of the backstabbing and corruption.
Yeah. So that'd be interesting to listen to that again. He was quite angry, wasn't he?
Indeed. And we talk about the Ford report in that one.
Still much ignored.
The next one is the True Anarchist episode we did. R is for Rojava.
That's with Khan Ross.
Correct. Great one.
Yeah.
Lovely topic. Really interesting story.
Mm-hmm.
Our listenership has become, I think, at this point, 28 episodes in, is kind of reflective of our consistent listenership. Still high up. I don't know why I'm being so transparent about this, but around 20,000 listeners per episode, and now that's like the consistent average.
That's where we settle. That's not bad.
Decent. It's bigger. You can fit them in the bloody Hammersmith Apollo.
Yeah. we topped a million, didn't we, a while ago? Where are we?
A while ago, yeah. Total listeners.
Ever. Yeah.
I'll tell you where we are. We're at 1.2 million all-time listens.
2 million and a quarter, really.
That's good stuff.
Yeah.
It's quite a large number. Overwhelming. Just going to keep ignoring it. Okay, but you know, you used to shit out 1 million viewers, didn't you, for your TV shows?
1 million was considered a failure in my day.
I can't believe that. R is for Rojava, 28. Lovely episode there. Very fascinating topic. Next one is called Sugarfoot. Howdy, folks. Mosey on down to the Elixir podcast saloon and pull up a spittoon as your favorite podcast posse crack their quips and rustle up some anecdotes and updates for your hungry ears.
That's just me and you then, is it?
I think so, yeah. No guests. Meandering edition of the podcast. Yeah, which is...
All right.
Chatting away, proper podcast stuff.
Yeah.
Then we get Richard Sanders on episode 30, Perfect Weapon. Oh, yeah. Yes, he made the Al Jazeera Labour Files thing, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. Still see him. I've forgotten that had him on the podcast. I'm really important journalist. There's the film he did for Al Jazeera called October the 7th, which is an extraordinary. Difficult watch, but also debunks most of the claims that were made. People still use, the beheaded babies and the rape stories. They forensically debunks all those accusations. Just
amazing. Just while being upfront and truthful about, the horrific things that did happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But it's not like he's just like, it was a lovely day. Everyone was fine. He's not saying that.
It's incredibly difficult to watch, but
of course.
Nevertheless, all those lies that being told about that
day. It's funny how our brains work, because I was watching his interviews following that October 7th documentary and interviews with him on like Double Down News and stuff. And I was like, we should get him on the podcast.
Yeah.
He's fucking been on it.
Yeah. He's a good guy.
Next one was an interesting one. I think this was a tricky one for me to put together, because I think we had two guests on. Our Evelyn Waugh episode.
Yeah. Now, this is really interesting. I think about this. This is the one that, in a sense, is a failure, because these two women actually, I mean, my feelings, you know, I would consider myself an expert on Evelyn Waugh, but I also am deeply ambiguous about his personality and his nature. And I think he was about his own nature, but these two women were actually, which I suppose is, because he is extremely right-wing in a sense, Waugh, that they were complete believers in him, really. And it was quite a it wasn't exactly spiky, but it was, certainly wasn't a meeting of
minds. So these two ladies were hired by Penguin to write...
They were both Waugh experts,
and Penguin had republished all of Waugh's work, and these two ladies had written introductions in two different books. I think one of them especially, there were two of them, and one of them was a bit more grounded, but the other one was quite sycophantic about Waugh. And at one point, and I edited it out of the podcast, but she'd said something that I felt both of us cringe to, like it was just really, she said something very politically off, right wing, and it was really, we both just kind of ignored it and moved on with the conversation.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was a lesson really that, I mean, who'd have thought it, I suppose, that, you know, people who were experts in a right wing reactionary writer would be right wing reactionary. Queso presso. I mean,
but it was still.
It was all right. I mean, yeah.
In terms of like itching that Evelyn Waugh itch, it was very interesting and in depth. All right, next episode.
Who else would do this shit though? The breadth of this subject matter.
Right.
I can't believe that Richard Osmond would, you know, cover this breadth of. Maybe he would, I don't know.
Maybe Osmond, but Conan O'Brien wouldn't.
No, fucking Conan O'Brien wouldn't.
He just has his celebrity friends on the show and that's it.
Yeah,
it's a funny show, though. All right, the next one is our second Christmas one, A Very Alexi Christmas Part 2. We answer a sack full of listener questions. we're just going through the letters bag. Not much to say about that. Two sorts, episode 33, two sort of Muslims and a sort of Jew with Imran Yusuf.
All right. Okay.
Funny guy.
Funny guy. Very good. You know, doing all the... So you did that medical aid for Palestine benefit at the Roundhouse.
Yeah. Just a hardworking comedian.
Yeah.
Who is also outspoken and political. It's nice to see.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, episode 34, BDS is my kink.
And it's our first Adam Broomberg, isn't
exactly,
it?
Exactly, yeah.
I should go to Berlin and see him. I mean, I think he's suffering a lot at the moment, I feel. I don't know if you've seen any more, but...
He's out of the trough of the out of the lowest point. He's like,
who'd have thought the German? Yeah, with this genocide, who'd have thought the Germans would turn out to be racist genocide deniers? There's a shock. I mean, I did think though. You'd think, you know, you just thought, you know, we hadn't really thought much about Germany really until, but their treatment of the. You know, the Palestinian protesters has been, it's just been so reminiscent of, you know, a darker period in the history. And they don't really seem to see it. And of course, it is when we interview him again. I mean, it's a bit that I'll credit him, but I think that you know, that he, in the second podcast we do, he attends like a thing where they light candles for the dead of Gaza. The riot police turns up. So Adam is, you know, a Jew is faced with this giant Aryan riot policeman in full riot gear. And he says to him, where were your grandparents during the war? Which I think is just the most
Adam says to the copper, yeah.
Says to the copper, and then he's beaten up and thrown in jail.
And we're speaking about the German state, of course. There is a lot of resistance in Germany.
Yeah, well, yeah, is there? I hope so, but it's... you know, it's just, it's amazing that they can't see it, you know.
Or, yeah, right. And when you bring that up, well, not with me, but when you see people bringing that up, they act so offended. Like, how could you bring, how could you?
Yeah, that's so ridiculous.
Compare us to the Nazis.
Well, well, that's quite easy.
Right, let's move on. Oh, God, it's quite a big task we've given ourselves.
Yeah.
But
almost.
I think
it's either interesting for the listeners.
I think it's
or
entertaining. It's quite
yeah,
fast paced. Okay, next up is episode 35, Haughty Disdain with Bassem Youssef. This was before he blew up more bigger than anything.
Yeah, we got there first.
We got there first, but I wish we kind of got him afterwards because
we're getting more listeners. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. This was in March of. Last year? What year is it now?
Yeah.
March of last
23,
year.
23, yeah.
And yeah, you were really grilling him on being on satire and being political. Yeah. Because that was a puzzle you were trying to solve, wasn't it? How do you be a comedian and be political? But I don't think he even really knew at that point. I think if you asked him today, it'd be a lot different.
Yeah. Yeah.
But to be honest with you, if you go see his live show, it doesn't really reflect what he does on in the
interviews. No. It's, I mean, he's social media. It's yeah. Which I guess that's his choice, really.
Yeah.
But he's amazing on social media. So
he's good on in the interviews and stuff.
Yeah.
His social media can be a bit cringy, to be honest.
Really? Yeah, I don't know. I don't look at it.
He'll. Not to throw too much shade, but like if you're a comedian who's selling out massive theaters, at the end of your show when everyone is so elated and over the moon, don't get a mobile phone out and try and get 10,000 people to take part in a TikTok dance with you. It's really that winds me up, to be honest. But he's been out there smashing it though, and I'm sure he's just very excited to be playing these huge places.
Yeah, let's say that.
The next one, episode 36, Little Rubber Alexi. That's referencing the Arabian Nights movie.
Yeah.
You were in and I did ADR in.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about theatre. Oh, this is when I was doing that tour of Arabian Nights. That nearly killed me, yeah. And then, so we were talking about theatre and you were talking about your experiences in theatre as well. And then we read some emails.
Okay.
A nice listenership on that. All right, this episode's not really a podcast because it's 5 minutes long. It's called Theatre of the Streets with Ogmios. And the whole podcast is me saying, this is on the YouTube. We basically filmed a drive. We went driving with Ogmios and filmed it. And so that
one episode is
one of our inspirations for these bike rides.
Yeah.
That are on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And so the whole podcast episode is just me saying, go to the YouTube. It's all there. And it's a beautiful video of us driving around London. Is he driving? Yeah, we're in his car and he's driving us around.
Yeah, he's in such shitty old Vauxhall Corsa.
It's beautiful and his voice is gorgeous. And,
amazing. How is he? I haven't really been following him.
He's doing well. He's his YouTube channel, he's been experimenting, he's been doing bikes, he's been filming his local Sunday League football matches and doing Zen commentary and stuff like that. It's really cool.
Right.
Big love and hugs out to Ogmios and the Zen School of Motoring. Next up, 38, Maxine Peak, Take Pleasure in the Struggle.
Such a great, you know. Funny woman and, you know, very very committed to the cause.
Yes.
We because I've spoken at some of the demos. Obviously, I've been on everyone, and we walked to the American Embassy, and I heard Maxine speaking. And I'm like, well, why aren't I speaking today? And then somebody pointed out that it was International Women's Day, and all the speakers were women.
Yeah, that explains it.
So, I mean, that's a really ignoble side of me that I'm whining about, like, you know, not being asked to speak on International Women's Day. That's me.
God, I love her so much.
Yeah, she's great.
And just one of our best actresses as well, of a generation.
Yeah.
Episode 39, Where's the Happy Ending with Richard Parry?
That's the one about the Bonnot Gang.
Yes.
Yes, really interesting. And surprisingly, quite a lot of talk about firearms in there.
Yeah. I was just enamored by this book that I read, and I forced you to sit down with the author of it. Because they were anarchists in the early 1900s.
So out of control. I mean, I suppose it's true now, but testing the limits, or we've got going well past the limits of what is acceptable in society, you know.
Yeah. And you can
fascinating shit.
Dream of getting away with what they did today.
Yeah.
And they invented the getaway car for bank robberies, which is pretty cool. A dip in listenership for this episode. It's a good one. Please go and listen to that one. It's a fucking fascinating story, these guys. And I loved, and Richard Parry, the author, was actually really interesting to listen to as well. Very charismatic. Next up, Palestine Action. We had AJ from Palestine Action on the show, and they are very active with Palestine Action, in and out of prison all the time.
And it is, I mean, again, it's that, I mean, Linda says, you know, it's, you know, we confine ourselves, or, you know, the struggle is perhaps not confined to, you know, polite electioneering and debating and, you know, maybe not buying fucking Israeli fucking avocados in the supermarket, but also, you know, that, you know, we are fighting a genocidal ethno-fascist regime here, and, you know, direct action is perhaps, you know, people who go further than just the normal politeness of political discourse, I think, you know, good on you, really.
I've always said these are our soldiers.
Right.
Because we're not, it's not violent what they're doing.
No.
But they are putting it into their own hands. And here's the thing, what they've so these guys, they go out to arms factories.
Yeah, mostly Elbit Systems, which is an Israeli arms manufacturer, which has many plants in the UK.
And they'll climb up on the roof and like rip the roof up or pour paint all over it. And in a way that makes the place unfit for purpose, unfit for use in terms of health and safety. And they're forced to close the factory down for weeks at a time in order to make repairs.
Do you think it's probably saving, at least in the short, you know,
saving lives
in Gaza, yeah.
And not only that, they've actually caused factories to close down in recent months and permanently stop, and not just close down, they've reopened and not working on any more arms for Elbit Systems.
And also one of the interesting things is, you know, the juries refused to convict them.
That's the other point.
That's why the Tories had tried to change the law so that they couldn't argue, you know, moral reasons for doing what they did, you know. And it'd be interesting, and it will be very much a barometer of how he's going to be, how Starmer and the Labour government
same
stuff, you know, if they continue.
Because it's amazing.
Starmer has extreme, has authoritarian tendencies, I think. And if he, and it's obviously, you know, very embedded in the Zionist cause, then if he cracks down.
But I just find it amazing that, you know, what they're doing isn't illegal. They get arrested, but then it's thrown out of court because they know what they're doing, and they have lawyers on their team.
People people understand the morality of what they're doing. Really.
Yeah, and there's laws in place that, like, if you're doing something destructive, but if it's to save lives, then it's not illegal. And that's what they prove in court that they're doing. It's just fucking stunning. Hats off. And I dream of being able to join them, but I don't know, one day maybe, but I don't know if I'm brave enough. It's scary.
Yeah, it's a big step. All right, off. But well next done, up, AJ. I hope you're still going strong.
Yes, indeed. And it was wonderful having you on the show, AJ. All right, we're at the final stretch here. Episode 41, The Right Kind of Jew with the Jenny Mason.
Manson.
Yes, yeah. Jenny Manson.
Yeah, the head of co-chair of Jewish Voice for Labour. You know, Jewish to her core. Called an anti-Semite, thrown out the Labour Party. I can't remember now. Just an extraordinary woman. That's been the bit. You know, we've seen quite a lot of Jenny since the podcast.
Next up, you already told this story. It's called Where Were Your Grandparents During the War? It's Adam Broomberg's return. Again, it was after his arrest and mistreatment by the police.
In Trumany.
Then we've got episode 43 with Capaldi. Very Capaldi Christmas, part one. The Dream Boys.
Yeah. Surely the public were mad keen to hear that, weren't they?
Yes. But I think I let myself down. I have to be honest here with the sound quality. It wasn't my best moment. It's very tricky to record when you don't have a studio, when you don't have truly professional grade equipment, but I'm working on my best to get our hands on some. But since this episode, in terms of post-production, I have made this kicked me in the ass, and I've made some developments in the software I use to edit the podcast, and things are going to be a lot better. Well, they have been a lot better since then. So this was a lesson for me, a big one.
But good.
In terms of content, Capaldi was on fire.
Yeah, it's great.
I was shocked by how long you sat together. It was like 2 hours and recording the whole time, and it was stunning. And it was really nice. He's great. What a lovely guy.
Yeah, really interesting. Yeah, again, it's sort of, I mean, it's right that he's not, you know, he's publicity shy, and he doesn't want to be a personality in a sense. He just wants to be an actor. But he's got so many interesting things to say that in some ways it's a shame that he's not a more preeminent personality. I mean, it's probably better the way that he is, but it's a shame in some ways because the public don't really get to. That's the drilling in your flat, is it?
Yeah, there's builders downstairs, yeah. Hmm. In my neighbor's flat. I don't know how long they've been going for, but a couple of months ago I knocked on her door and I said, I'm doing a recording later. I was just wondering what your schedule is with the building works going on in your flat. And she was so pissed off with me. And she goes, are you from upstairs? I go, yeah. And she goes, are you the musician? Right. I go, yeah. And she goes, and you and your girlfriend, you're not very quiet people, are you? I'm like, no, we're not actually. goes, have I ever complained to you? Have I ever knocked on your door? And I'm like, okay, all right, I'm sorry. I was just asking a question. Slammed the door in my face. I was like, fuck I'm never knocking on this door ever again.
Yeah, in my life. I sympathize with her. I think
me and my girlfriend are so loud and ridiculous.
I would hate you then.
Okay, we broke up the two Capaldi episodes with one of my favorites. It's Torrent of Rage with Jacqueline Rose. She might be up there in my top five guests that we've ever had. I think she's
amazing, and I don't know how she is really. I think a lot. I don't know. Yeah, I saw kind of a lot of her around about that period. Here, and also Selma, her friend Selma,
the beginning of this year,
the opposite flat to her, and I don't know. Seen them lately. I don't know how they're doing.
Well, there you go. This is a reminder for you to get in touch.
Yeah, yeah.
Send them my love as well, please.
I certainly shall.
Then we go back to Capaldi. Dr. Mysterio is the episode title. Well, actually, it's A Very Capaldi Valentine. We released it on Valentine's Day. Doctor Mysterio, which is what they call Doctor Who in Mexico.
That's correct.
All right, and then here we go. Last five, Alexi. We're doing great. Ellen E. Jones, Italian shawarma.
Fascinating. Yeah, very interesting. She should get me on her program.
Yes, that will happen soon, I'm sure. She was on, well, she reached out to us. She's a fan of the show.
Yeah.
Amazing film critic, a very smart brain on that person. Mm. She has a great book, How Film and TV Will Save the World.
Fascinating, yeah.
She sent us a copy very kindly, and she was dying to get on the show, and I think we did a good job with her.
I hope she still loves us.
I hope so too. Well, she still messages me on Instagram and stuff, replying to my posts and stuff. It's very sweet. And big love to you, Ellen. It was so good having you on the show. Then we had Edmund Griffiths, a real eye-opener. What isn't to be done?
Yeah, my favorite in some ways, really, bizarrely.
It was like a nice, concise kind of new angle on how the left can move forward.
Yeah, yeah. So full of interesting stuff, I think.
I think that needs to be listened to more by us on the left. And whether it's not that it's gospel or anything, but it was very interesting.
Yeah.
Episode 48 was Autocratic Tendencies with my friend Khalid Winter.
Lovely guy. Great voice. And he's...
archaeologist, comedian.
Yeah, but it's always my, you know, it's my, never anybody talks about Manchester, I always say, he's got a shooter. Yeah. And he added, scatter.
Yes. He's a great comedian and a very smart guy. He has a great podcast called Comedians Talking History, which is about an hour long each episode, and they talk about a different topic each episode. But I think we made a mistake having him on. I really want to get him back and do a new topic with him because we spent the first like 45 minutes interviewing him before we actually, because he came onto our show to basically do a version of his show.
Right.
And we
talked about Kronstadt, the
Kronstadt rebellion. Uprising. Yeah. But I think after 45 minutes of interviewing him, by the time we did the hour chunk on the Kronstadt, we were a bit knackered.
Right.
He was doing his best. Very interesting story. Really fucking crazy story. But next time we have him on, I just want to get straight into the topic.
Okay. Sure.
Episode 49 with Fred Weston. C is for communism.
Fred, yes. Interesting guy.
That was a funny one.
Yeah. Did they start, which was his party, they didn't stand in the elections, did they put up candidates?
No, they were endorsing different candidates, but they were the international.
You know, a lot of what he said was really interesting. It's like, you know, so.
Revolutionary.
It is a crossroads of political thought, this podcast. You know, we don't necessarily endorse or agree with all points of view, but it's a melting pot, really, from which, as you know, the classic Marxist dialectic, thesis, antithesis, synthesis. That is what Marxism is all about.
And what does that mean?
Thesis, you explain an idea. Antithesis or antithesis, you posit the opposite idea. And from that, you get, from that discussion, you get synthesis, where you blend those ideas into an idea that is, in fact,
something workable.
Something workable. Exactly.
Oh,
that's a classic Marxist dialectic, as I understand it. Feel free to correct me if I'm talking crap.
So, what built into the Marxist theory?
That's the core of Marxism. Yeah, it's
is
synthesis,
the
it's
idea
thesis,
of
antithesis, antithesis, synthesis. Yeah.
So the idea of working with those who think differently to you is built
No, not those who think differently, but those who raise, you know, those challenge, you know, within the ideology, challenge those ideas until you get a kind of synthesis that seems true. It may even predate Marx. It may be Hegelian. I'm not sure. Again,
how forward thinking and progressive is that? In that you work into it an idea that you have to work with ideas that you know aren't necessarily in line with the ideal.
Yeah.
That's a way to make things realistically happen, isn't it?
That's how you arrive at the correct line, comrade.
And on that, the next episode is the last one we did with Paul Curry, Just a Clown. I think we've spoken plenty
about
Paul Curry.
Yeah, we've spoken about that, yeah.
And that's it. It took us an hour and 20 minutes, Alexi.
You say people like this rambling shit, though, so.
I think so.
All right.
No, that was a lovely...
Yeah. It was a journey down memory lane for all of us. Really. Yeah, and we've got Lee Mack, we've got Sir Lenny Henry, both amazing interviews, I think.
Still to come.
Yeah.
And much more in the future.
Yeah, it all seems to be going well, doesn't it, really? So it seems to be chugging along. I still think the bike rides don't really... We've tried, haven't we? But
they do all right. The last one did really well.
Did it?
Yeah, it was like well over 10,000 views.
Is it cycling to Gaza that really worked? Or
yes.
Is that the one that really worked? Oh, yeah. Well, it's an interesting thing. Again, that is an interesting kind of collision of the bike rides and the podcast, really, because it's not just about riding to Streatham for the sake of it, but it's got political meaning. Yeah, maybe we could think about a bit more.
Yeah, that's a new angle. The other bike ride that did really well was the commute to the Comedy Store. And I think because it had purpose behind it.
Right.
Yeah. There was a concept behind it. So maybe that's something more we can think about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bike trips that have
makes sense.
More substance to them.
Yeah.
But that goes against the slow TV idea that the whole point of the bike rides is that they are.
It did get a bit thin in South London where I didn't, you know, I had nothing to say about, you know, where I was really. Yeah, you know, sort of desperately going to my dentist just to have something to talk about. That did get a bit like, you know.
Yeah. Well, that again, I'll put my hands on that. I wanted to bring you down to my ends because, you know, that's where I live and I find it so beautiful. And
well, you should have talked then because I don't know. I've got nothing to say about it, really.
All right.
I quite like us bickering and Dulwich picture.
Yeah, that was fun. All right, that's it. That's our reflections.
All right, everybody. Well, I hope you enjoy this podcast. It's me and Talal, which I think in some ways is... Yeah, you know, these are. We should do more of these in a way, perhaps a little shorter, but
this is a special occasion.
A lot of people I know like just me and you talking, really. So, all right, onwards 50 more. And
well, real quick, where do you see us in 50 episodes' time?
Oh, exactly the same place.
Yeah, is there not anything? Would you like us to have our own studio? Would that be something?
You would like. Lenny's got his own studio. I don't know. Yeah, we should. I don't know. I don't ask how people feel about the technical poorness of these. You know, it's pretty basic shit we're doing, and whether people feel we should do better, really.
Well, but I mean more in terms of your aspirations with the podcast. Would you like this to become a radio show or a TV show? What, like, you know, blue sky thinking.
I don't know really. I mean, I've got two big projects this year, which is the new series of Sandwich Bar, which will hopefully be recorded in December, and the book, and that's a lot to take on really. Where are we now in 5 months? I mean, I think I'm in denial about how much work I have to do. But then once the book comes out, I will then probably for the last time launch myself into the kind of publicity cycle. And, I it's a book that I feel needs to sell a lot of copies, really. So, you know, it's going to be a weird, I mean, this next year or so is assuming, you know, if you want to make God laugh, telling me plans. But I mean, tell them your plans. But tell it your plans. But, I'm going to be, it's going to be a time of, I should really be working. I shouldn't be going to Cambridge to be interviewing Mary and Mark Ellis. I should just be locked in my office. But we'll see. But it's going to be a busy time for me. And then I really, after that, I will really need a long break, I think. I'll be 72 then, and, you know, I know Joe Biden still thinks he can run states at the age of 743, but I mean,
yeah, I feel you, man. Yeah,
yeah.
Well, I hope this doesn't feel like too much like hard work for you.
No, no, no. It's lovely. It's a delight. I love this. I'm very happy doing it. You know.
All right then. So let's not build too large aspirations. Let's keep it.
No, well, we've got Lee Magnolet. We seem to be getting like really great guests.
And look, from the bottom of my heart, and I'm sure the audience are with me here, I wish you really good luck with your book and with the new series of Sandwich Bar. And
thank you.
I will give you all the space you need to do the work you need to do. And but really good luck with that. And I hope you fucking smash it out the park.
Yeah.
And thank you for doing this podcast with me, Alexi.
Oh, thank you.
It's a real pleasure. Sure. And I'm glad today, at the very least, that we've heard that it's benefited your professional work as well.
Definitely. Definitely.
Anything to say to the listeners before we sign out? I think that's a good way to end. If you have a message to our listeners for over 50 episodes.
Yeah, well, I love you all. You're the best people in the world. You represent the best and the brightest of us. Yeah, if you can form a kind of robot army, if you could make me a robot army, it would be... I don't know.
No, that's good. No, keep going. Yeah,
I would like a robot army too. Destroy my my enemies. So anyway, on that note,
thank you, listeners. Thank you, Alexi.
Bye bye.
You've been listening to the Alexi Sell podcast. This show is produced and edited by Talal Karkuti. Music by Tarbush Records. Thanks to Audio Boom for hosting us. Please keep your emails coming in at alexiselpodcast@gmail.com. Goodbye.